Okay, let's be, oh wait, one more. Give me 1 second, then I'll restart. Okay, hi everybody. Let's begin, since the regulars are now here on Zoom, it's time to start. Okay. What I want to do is discuss with you something that seems to be totally irrelevant. And I will probably need today and tomorrow. I hope not also Thursday, although I might have bitten off more than I can chew. We'll see what happens. I've never really presented this before. This was an idea that I heard a few years ago. And I think it's an important lesson specifically before the beginning of the 3 weeks. I might have to end it off on Monday because I probably should do something for Shavuot Sabbat Tammuz on Thursday because it actually is Shavuot Sabbat Tammuz, but we'll see what happens. Okay, my preamble was hoping to get somebody else to join, but that didn't work. Here we go. Let's start. What I want to do today is I want to analyze a perek in Tehillim that is quite popular and quite famous, meaning it comes from davening. Otherwise, let's say Tehillim every day. Tehillim is actually not quite popular and not quite famous. But this is one of the more popular ones because we say it on a regular basis. And what I want to read is that it seems to be totally unrelated. Like, it seems to be that, like, what in the world is David HaMelech actually saying? What's its connection? You know, let's just read and ask a lot of questions. And I think when we eventually connect all the dots, I actually hope that we're going to find something quite fascinating, which is a much bigger conversation. And it is a, believe it or not, a jump off of issues that we've discussed in the past. So Mizmor Shir Chanukas HaBayis LeDavid. So this is David HaMelech, and he's dedicating the home. Now, remember, David HaMelech begins to put into motion the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. He actually doesn't complete it. His son does. But nonetheless, he, you know, he's going to definitely put this together. So did he write this? Did his son put it together? Okay. But we can maybe come back to that later. But one thing for sure is, what is his message? So if you're writing, like, imagine you're like, okay, let's pick on Malka because she's the one right after me on my screen. Saying, Malka, you know, Malka, I'm going to hire you. You know, I got a lot of money, Malka. I'm going to hire you. I want you to write, like, my dedication of the temple, right? So, you know, I realize that, like, you don't take literature or anything because you're, like, in, like, computer science stuff or whatever. But, you know, I'll pretend they actually know literature. You know how to compose things. And you can write, like, poetry. Like, come up with, like, a really, you know, inspirational message for my dedication of the temple that I'm building, my family's building. You're like, wow, that's like, okay, not a small task. So like, what themes, like, what would you put in there, right? Like, imagine, Malka, unmute yourself, give me a theme. Sorry, I'm going to pick on you. Sorry. What theme would you include? Give me 2 themes, and then I'll pick on the next person. What theme would you put?
So you're saying it's for the Beis HaMikdash?
Yeah, I'm dedicating the temple. I'm dedicating, look at this one, a song for dedication.
Talk about like Hashem and how this house is the house of Hashem.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. This is the beauty of Hashem. Hashem's presence will be felt here. You know, like, I'll be able to connect to it. It's going to be beautiful. I'm so happy, Hashem. You know, build me a Mishkan Shechanti Besocham and God's presence, right? It's going to be like beautiful, right? Great. That's what I would do too, right? And maybe I could describe, you know, the Jewish people coming or the hope that people will come, you know, just dedicate. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, right? Sometimes dedication, sometimes you get a lot of people. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Right? But there's all these hopes and wishes, right? The beauty of God and how important it is. But he doesn't do any of that. It's really weird. And not only that, but he has like totally disjointed themes. And I'm sure, I'm not going to ask you because I don't embarrass anybody. If I had to ask you how many of you said this paragraph before, you all might raise your hand, right? I don't know. I'm just going to make that assumption. So let's read. Aramimcha Hashem titili sani. I extol you, O Lord, if you lift me up. And not let my enemies rejoice over me. Now, okay, listen. David HaMelech might have had some enemies. You know, okay, fine. He had a lot of enemies. But like, that's how you start off my dedication ceremony, right? Right? Thank you, God. I extol your virtues. Why? You've lift, right? By the way, kidili son is a very odd word. This word really comes from the word lidlot, which really comes from this notion of going to a well and drawing water, right? Dalo, dala, right? Have you heard that expression before? Right? So that's the image here. So you have lifted me up, kidili sani, right? Ekstoyu, so you've lifted me up, but often it's not just lifted me up, but often it has connected to a well, okay? Which is very interesting. Why not use the word aramimcha, I extol you, right? From the word liramim, right? Kidli sani, you lifted me up. It's a very odd word to say lifted up. Why not like, I don't know, lots of words, like la'alos, interesting. Filosi machta oivali, and my enemies didn't rejoice over me. So you lift me up, my enemies don't rejoice over me. Okay, strange, but all right, fine. Hashem alagai shivati elach avadibreni, right? I cry out to you, you heal me. I was sick, like on Yimish Berach, like David Melach was like ill, not feeling well. He had COVID, like, I don't know, like, what's the issue here exactly, right? What's he referring to? Unclear, let's go on. Hashem elisa mishol nafshi, you brought me up from against Sheol, right? Wow, that's like not the most common word in the world to use, but like, what's this like Sheol, right? God brought me up from Sheol, the depth. Like, is that different than Dilisani? Like, was he dolo from Hashem? Mishol nafshi from the soul was really pretty low. Chisani miyar dibor. Right? You preserve me, you save me from really going down into the pit. Oh, pit. Remember before I was talking about it, like a well, right? Remember talking about like to draw up? Well, that's interesting. Okay. You drew me up. You bring me up when I was down. Oh, yes, we did some song that my kids sing. I don't remember where it's from. Anyways. Zamrul Hashem Chasidav. Your Chasidim, your Chasidim, your faithful people are going to rejoice. Hodu L'Zecher Gocho. Praise it. Praise his holy name. Fine, nice poetry there. Lizamer, Hodu, right? His righteous people, holy people, fine. God's name, nice. Ki rega bapo chayim birtzino ba'erev. How's this read? Ki rega bapo chayim birtzino. That for 1 second, rega is like a moment. God's angry, right? However, that being said, when God is happy, or when he is pleased, there is life. So, chayim birtzono. So it should be read, sorry, ki rega bapo, comma. There's a moment of anger, but chayim birtzono. But when there's life, for God's will, but erev yelin bechi vagrina. At nighttime, right? I'm going to lie down and cry at night. But in the morning, I'm going to be very happy. What's going on? Can you explain to me? I'm dedicating the temple. I'm talking about anger. I'm talking about, you know, depth. And I'm talking about praise. So I get the praise. The praise I get. You want to tell me verse 5? Great. I got it. What's with this anger? Like, it is totally disjointed. I would give if I was like, you know, if I had to hire Malkus Spiegel to write this and she wrote this, I'd ask for a full refund and psychological damages to go with it, right? Like, what is this? This is like messing with me here, right? Like, what? You know, and we see this all the time. This is the great Nismor Shir. Chanukah Sabayis LeDavid. And if you've been to perhaps a, remember we used to like do these like dedication ceremonies with like people, right? We used to have things like we would dedicate, you know, a shul, a school, whatever. What do you do with anything? And by the way, another time, why does this begin Psugi to Zimra? Okay, so if you're not satisfied, it's not right. It's close enough to the beginning, right? Okay, that's, yeah, we're not going to get done today and maybe not tomorrow. We'll see. Vanya marti b'shavi bal emot lolam. So, again, what does it do with anything, right? When I was untroubled, I thought I shall never be shaken. Now, Duna Malach, is he referencing in his life? Asher b'tzoncha hemarita l'arios. For you, O Lord, when you were pleased, made me firm as a mighty mountain. What? I mean, mountains are mighty. You hid your face, and I was terrified. Starta panacha, yisinifal. You understand? What in the world does this have to do with anything? Okay, fine. Okay, this I understand. Maybe you want to use this. Perhaps it's a place from making a dedicating a temple. Maybe to you, I call, right? And to you, of course, I appeal, right? Fine. So Hanan usually means you're calling out to God and you want something, but you don't deserve it. That's usually what that word means. Meschanan chonain, right? You bestow things, we don't deserve them. Okay? Podeh, usually you deserve something, right? You're like, you're podeh like a loan. You've dealt with that before, right? Different words say different things, but actually mean different things in Hebrew, because that's the beauty of Hebrew. Ma betza bedami beririti al shachas. What do I gain if you kill me, God? What is it? Wait, is there a conspiracy theory here? God wants to kill David, right? What is to be gained from my death? Beririti al shachas, from my descent into the pit. Hayodcha fai geramitecha? Can dust praise you? Can it declare your faithfulness? Are you kidding me? What is David referring to here? Right? He's on like the brink of death. Please, God, don't kill me. I'm about to die. Don't kill me. What will you gain by killing me? So therefore, please don't kill me. Right? Because after all, I'm like literally in the depth of who knows what. So please don't kill me. Please have mercy on me and help me. Okay, fine. So I'm like deep down somewhere and I don't want God at all. Please, God, hear me, help me, like draw me up with water, like give me a hand because I'm in like a deep dungeon somewhere. And this is famous because of Yishai Ribo. You turned my, so generally this is understood, Misbedi is hesped, into machol, which means dancing, right? Like Tupim Bimchalos by Miriam, right? So you, Hashem switched my, flipped over, but it also can come the word Mechila, forgiveness. But in here it's referring to, the English translation is referring to dancing. So you switch my lament into dancing, you flip my life around, right? So almost like, what's that holiday called? Purim, right? You flip it around, right? Pitata sakri, you opened up my sackcloth. I guess I'm in mourning. So if you're in mourning, and then I was able to have joy. My whole being might sing this praise to you. Oh God, I'll praise you forever. My friends, what in the world is going on? How is this a dedication? These themes are totally disjointed. They are very odd words. David's going to die. Please don't kill me. I'm like down somewhere. Please spare my life. I'll sing your praise. What is happening here? Okay. I mentioned something on purpose yesterday, which I believe, which was the setup for today. And this idea of understanding certain principles in the Torah give you insight into many principles in the Torah. Let's see if you're able to figure out what I'm referring to. When you see this chapter of Tehillim, what immediately jumps out at you? We have a rule in the Torah, right? One thing is similar, could be lucky. Two, three, if you're a betting person, I'm not saying you should or shouldn't be, you probably shouldn't be, but if you're a betting person, and you see common themes, and you see many common themes, clearly the author, right? Who's unfortunately not Malcolm Spiegel, it's somebody else, right? There's something about this parak, this chapter, that is telling us. Now, why? I'm not so sure. We can't figure that out. This is connected to another very famous episode in the Torah. And that is the words. There's a couple of words that are only found in the one of the most famous narratives in the entire Torah and found here. They're not found anywhere else. Answer?
I think Yosef in the pit.
Very good. Michal Yosef in the pit. That's why I referenced it yesterday. Right? Because remember, that division of Yosef and his brothers and that narrative, those ideas, concepts, and themes echo the entire Tanakh. I showed that yesterday, and I believe there's something here. Now, Yehuda, thank you. I'm sure you all said it. Yehuda's the only one bold enough to unmute himself. I'm sure you all had the same idea. What words? So let's go to the most obvious words possible. First of all, there's a pit here. There's a pit. There's drawing from the pit. There's being schlepped out of a pit. That's not the most common thing in Tanakh, right? People being thrown into pits are not the most common thing that happens. And there's even more. This expression, ma betza, what do you gain, appears in one other place. When does it, who says it? Where is it from? It's Yehuda. Yehuda says, ma betza kinor gedochin. Why should we kill him? Let's throw him into a pit. So, I apologize. That's what I meant to say. I said, I think I made the same mistake yesterday. What did Yehuda say? Yehuda says, why should we throw him into a pit to die? My bet's that we should kill him. What should we do instead? Sell him. I made the same mistake yesterday, right? Meaning, Yehuda, in fact, already prepared. Look at this. Bang, right there. Sharing screen. Scroll down. Huh? Prepare the tab in advance. Kind of. Here it is right here. My bet's on, my bet's on, my bet's on. I should have scrolled down before. Here it is, right? What does Judah tell his brothers? What? My bet. This is very important. There only are two places in the entire Tanakh where it has this expression, my bet. What do we gain? Two places. Kinor ginu achinu, that we should kill our brother and cover up his blood. Let's instead sell him. Meaning, don't leave him in the pit. Let's take him out of the pit. Let's schlep him out of the pit. Very interesting. Let's schlep him out of the pit. Now, okay, Greenberg, not a couple of points, but this is not my idea at all. I stole some somebody. We see the word mabetza. We have the word pit. Any other references to the Yosef story? Not bad, but that's only two. Can we find more? So, let's go back by clicking. Here we go. Well, it does say Shema Hashem because you will recall, I think, what does he ask for? Right? Yeah, I mean, he wants him to listen, right? He makes a plea. He wants his brothers to listen. Let's just find other clearer ones. Well, here we go. What does Yaakov say when he cannot be consoled for Yosef? He says what? I will veyraditi biyagon sheola. I'll be dragged into Sheol. Sheol, I don't know, hell, the underworld, the dig death, right? Yaakov says to his sons, oh my goodness, Yosef has died. I will suffer. I will go down. I will basically die with, right? This, I will go down to Sheol. Sheol is not the most common word in Tanakh. It happens in a few places, but that's another one. Again, the word pit mentioned over here as well, right? The notion of crying. Yaakov, of course, definitely does a lot of crying. Now, by the way, Hayodcha Afar, right? Dust. Well, what does Yaakov put on his forehead? Afar, right? There's that appears in both places as well. I'll get to you later. But when do we have an opening of a, when we open up a sackcloth? When do we open up a sack and open up a bag? Which story is that? It's the Binyamin story. Mary opened up a bag. We find that, so we'll get there later. Does mean so fine. Okay. So there's definitely a number of references of to our Yosef story. There's a number of references. Okay. But that's, what does one have to do with the other? Why is David HaMelech, in writing this psalm, in writing what is called a Chanukah Sabayis LeDavid, why is it that he writes this and he wants us to think about the Yosef story? Why does it matter? I mean, Yosef was hundreds of years earlier. Why does it matter at all? Question. Did Yaakov ever figure out what really happened? Did he know about this conspiracy theory? The brothers were lying and they were covering it up, right? They were covering up. Oh, sorry. I meant to highlight that too, right? It says in Perek in Tehillim, did Yaakov know about this conspiracy theory? Did he know about Yo Yehuda and Shimon and Levi and this? Did he know all that? Yes or no? So it's very unclear. It's extremely ambiguous in the Torah itself, but there might be an important hint. And I think this is going to begin to explain something which I believe is a very, very important theme. Let me explain. Reuven wanted to save Yosef, so Reuven has no issues at all. Shimon and Levi, there's clearly when Yaakov is giving them quote-unquote a bracha at the end of his life, he's making references to two narratives. One narrative, of course, the narrative of, Shem and Hamor that Shimon and Levi were involved in. But there's also a little bit of a reference to, I believe, Mechiras Yosef. First of all, selling. Shimon and Levi were instruments of selling, right? As the kind of the oldest brothers, right? Shimon and Levi were the oldest ones there. Reuven was out of the picture. So they allowed it to be sold. And Rashi, in fact, points that out here as well, right? Kavod is mentioned in our Perek of Tehillim. Kiba Apam, their anger, mentioned there as well. Hargu Ish, Virtsunam Igrushor. Now Chazal do say that Igrushor refers to Yosef. Okay? And they have an anger. Okay, fine. Now, when it comes to Yehuda in particular, I believe the reference is even stronger. And in fact, Rashi highlights this the entire way. I'm going to switch to Rashi in a minute. But let's talk about Yehuda. Yehuda is going to be a leader. Now, what did Yehuda do? Question. Did Yehuda do a right thing or a wrong thing by Yosef? So the answer is, well, could have been worse. That'd have been the right answer. What do I mean? He said, let's sell him. Well, he had three options. He could have said, let's kill him. Either have him in the pit, let him cry out, let him scream and yell, and then no one will be able to hear him, and no one will care. That is an option. I could do that. That's option one, let him scream out. The other option is, let's save him. The other option is, let's sell him. I mean, there's more options. So, okay, he didn't choose to have him be killed. He didn't save him. He did a middle option, right? Sell him. Well, the good news with the sale of Yosef was that, like, he's still alive. That's at least good news, and we know things happen. But Yehuda was in a position that's a very dangerous position to be in. You see, when you're at war and you want to kill somebody, and you're a lion, which is going to be the position that Yehuda is in, you can do the following. Look at this. Yehuda, you literally have your hand on the nape of your foes. You know, like this, you know, like pretend this is a neck, not of a bottle, but of a human being. My hand is around the neck. I'm literally like a lion. Think about a lion with the claws, literally about to strangle, to kill that, you know, that deer, or whatever the ant may be. Right? Right? Gur Aryeh Yehuda, you're a little cub, which is very strange, brother. You're a cub and you're a full-grown lion. Miteref b'ni Alisa. Wow. Miteref. From the ripping apart, my son, you rose up. Well, that is very true. Of course, we know where those words come from. Those words come from what did Yaakov assume happened to Yosef? He was ripped up by wild animals. Taruf, taruf, Yosef, says the Midrash over, says the pasuk over here that Rashi picks up on. Miteref b'nei Alisa, meaning, said the Midrash, what could have happened? Yosef could have been totally ripped up or torn apart, but instead, from being devoured, you rose it up. Who's that referring to? You b'nei Alisa, you lifted literally up my son. You took Yosef out of the pit. Right? Who dares to attack you? And then, and it speaks about his incredible leadership. Meaning, I think there's an important idea here. This is a good place to end. We'll continue tomorrow. Yehuda was in a position to have Yosef been totally devoured and been destroyed, ripped to pieces, left in the pit, died. But Yehuda picked him out of the pit and at least saved him. Imagine what Jewish history would have looked like. The brothers would have allowed Yosef to stay in the pit and he would have been killed, he would have died. Imagine the difference of Jewish history. Imagine what the world would have looked like had that happened. In many ways, Yehuda saves the day. But this is just his first stage of saving the day. Yehuda will save the day again at the end. And that's with, of course, Binyamin. What does Yehuda say by Binyamin? Remember from yesterday? Remember what we said? Remember what we said by yesterday? Vayigash, you love Yehuda. You remember that? Remember Vayigash conversation? Remember? So Vayigash, Yehuda steps up. And what is Yehuda? How is Yehuda allowed? I'm going to jump to this because we're running out of time. How does Yehuda allow Binyamin to be taken? What does he tell his father? I will be the guarantor. Anochi Arvenu. I will be the guarantor that Binyamin will come back to life. When they find the silver goblet in Binyamin's sack, what does Yehuda say? Take me instead as a prisoner and as a slave. Vayigash elav Yehuda. Yehuda takes a step forward and puts his life on the line. David HaMelech clearly is referencing something about, not him, but his ancestor, but his great-great-great-great-grandfather. There's something about Yehuda. There's something about that Yosef story. There's something about what Yehuda did in the past, and what David continues to need to do, and how he needs to see this temple, this Beis HaMikdash, this Mishkan, this Mizmor Shir Chanukas HaBayis LeDavid, that needs to happen before Am Yisrael can come home, back to their shul, back to their Mikdash, back to that Chanukas HaBayis. What exactly else is going on here? I think we're getting there. We're seeing tremendous insight into this paragraph that is extremely ambiguous and complicated. We're seeing themes that are vital. We're seeing ideas that are extremely significant. They say about the Barbanel, it makes you not be Kardas, because you're in the Barbanel. He asks his 20 questions in the Parsha. You read it Friday night, you fall asleep, you don't hear the answers. Then you have all these questions and answers. So that means that everyone has to come back tomorrow, or else you're not going to have all these answers. You're not going to, you know, who knows, you're going to become a heretic. So anyways, somehow I don't think you become a heretic overnight and use more shit. But anyways, whatever. I look forward to seeing everyone again tomorrow since it is 1 o'clock. And it should be, we're going to piece these together and hopefully find a very significant theme. And of course, connect it to what we said yesterday. And of course, fast of Shavuot Sobah Tammuz and the purpose and function of the Beis HaMikdash. Have a terrific Tuesday, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.